You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Open up the champagne, pop it. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to our house. Yeah, it's Friday, so that's good, right? Yeah, I agree. It is good. I guess a former member of ISIS is taking vengeance in France this morning. That's part of the world we live in. Saying vengeance for Syria in the south of France. So there's going to be, you know, again, you watch the tectonic plates of life move, right? You know, it's amazing. A country like Germany can decide that, you know, again, it's interesting, Germany's ties to Turkey and historical ties after World War II, because they faced such a labor shortage because they had so many men of working age killed in the war and imprisoned after the war. I didn't know this stuff until I started researching. You know, Turkey's, you know, you read about the issue of Turkey and Turks in Germany, and like, well, where did this come from? So I did a little reading. This is months ago when, you know, Germany, and this has gone on for years, right? The killing of Turkish people and things like that. So, in the course of investigation, yeah, they made some kind of arrangement with Turkey that there would be, you know, Turk laborers allowed to come to Germany. And but Andrea Merkel's decision to throw the doors open, you know, it's extremely interesting. And again, when you open the doors to a culture that is so contrary to yours, and you're not a melting pot, and I don't think Germany is, and Germans don't look at themselves in that way. The melting pot, that's America. Those are other places. Australia, those are other multicultural places. Germany, yeah, they live here, but you know, we're Germans. Lederhosen, right? That's not what we are. So, you know, you've seen that kind of on a small scale for years until she opens up Germany's borders. And France now, because of the historical ties to Algeria, France, you know, I mean, it's amazing these areas and Mrs. Merkel, kind of, I don't know if you followed that, but there's evidently areas, in fact, if you want to do an interesting little search no-go areas, Germany. Yeah, and see what that returns to you. And these are areas that have been taken over. I'll do it right now. I'll tell you what you get. No. Hold on. no-go area is Germany. Angela Merkel admits that no-go areas, no-go zones exist in Germany. What? There are such, quote, there are such areas, and no one has to call them by their name and do something about them. So in Germany, there's areas that they can't go to. Because of the arrival of so many people from Islamic nations, they've taken over, they've driven Germans out, and it's not a peacefully coexisting multicultural society. So, it's amazing, right? That this program, and then how does it get resolved? And accepting Germany, a multicultural Germany, well, you know, do they desire to be that? You know, you watch. Germans are, you know, seem to be relatively almost too peaceful today for me. Yeah, they don't even have an army, for God's sakes. They're a version of Japan, and they need to get over it. So this morning, France deals with their version of this. You know, and France probably further down the road than Germany is because they have, I believe France has a larger population, that for whatever reason they don't assimilate into and are not accepted in French culture. And if you have seen interviews, anyway, to make a long story short, that's in the news today. John Bolton in the news today. I found we'll get to the news ultimately, but there's an article in Washington Post this morning. Headline, The Return of John Bolton, A Hawk on North Korea and Iran Sparks Concerns. So, here's the question. So you read that, and if you've heard John Bolton, I think he speaks the truth. Okay? But, so the Washington Post calls him a hawk. What else can you be relative to these regimes? Should you be, and I think it speaks to our form of government, right? A 3-year horizon for a president. So if you look at the way Barack Obama conducted his foreign policy after George Bush, and you know what, George Bush needs to shut up and go away. I'm so sick of that dude. You are the village idiot among village idiots, okay? You are peerless in the village idiot realm. I don't want to hear what you have to say about anything, honestly. So paint and do good work for veterans. You owe them that. All right? You owe them that. And all the work that you can do for them still won't be enough. Still won't be enough. For what you did. Anyway, so when you look at the way Barack Obama approached the reset button with the Russians, all right, the way he approached, the conciliatory way that he approached Iran. So what does that tell you? We've sat down, we've looked at American foreign policy, and, you know, we can do it because we're smarter and we'll take a different tack with these nations, right? We'll hit the reset button with the Russians. Is it being just naive? And so to me, I thought, well, Mac, if you were president, this is me in the shower a little bit ago, how would you do it? And I said to myself, well, I would do it like this. I would, when I sat down to make policy, I would go ahead and I would bring in, okay, so I succeed Donald Trump. I run in an open primary. Yeah, just like guy who hosts All Marine Radio, just like got, you know, 30% of the Republican vote in California in the primary against Donald Trump. He's legit. So I go on this, I put up a GoFundMe site. Money starts pouring in. We start thumping his ass. Okay, then when we face off against a Democrat, because they're just straight up going to run a communist. And, hey, here's a question for you. Where is Nancy Pelosi these days? You never see her on TV anymore. Where did she go? Did she vanish? Right? She can't even show her face anymore, hardly. You know what? And again, there comes a time when you need to go away. Okay? You need to go away. And it's just, you know, you've gotten old. You don't make sense in public so much anymore. And that's on both sides of the aisle. There ought to be an age limit. When you're in your mid-80s, you don't, most of the time you don't function that well. You don't need to be making policy for the nation. Leave that to younger people. Leave that to the 70-year-olds or the 60-year-olds. Leave that to the young people. You at 84, she's running for re-election. She'll be in her 90s. Good God. We don't need that. Anyway, I digress. So McNamara gets elected, right? And so I sit down and make foreign policy, and I say, okay, get me Obama's people, right? I want a SecDef, and I want a Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. Get me those three. And I don't care who they are. I don't care what their political leanings are, right, for this roundtable. Get me Bush's people, and don't say his name in my presence, okay? Don't say the word. Don't say the B word in my presence anymore. Okay, get me Clinton's people. Get me the Elder Bush's people. Okay, that's everybody's probably living. If they're not available, get me their deputy. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to talk about a continuum of behavior from these countries over the course of a 20 to 30 year period. Because that's certainly how they look at it. Okay? So, when you look at things like the tariffs, okay, what you have to understand is there's a Chinese policy that states we want to transfer this industry from American control, right? So think of it as the concentration board. We want to go from the U.S. side of the board to the Chinese side of the board. Why do we want to do that? Because steel is important in weapon making and shipbuilding and all kinds of other things. We want to control that. Okay? If we ever do go down a bad road with the United States, steel's important. Okay? We'll own that. And it's used in everything. Okay? So, Chinese. Let's identify another industry. The 5G telecommunications, high-end cell phone technology business and mobile communication business. Qualcomm. We need to get Qualcomm in the hands of a third party so we can get it in our hands ultimately. So those are the kind of things that communist nations do. They engineer. And we in the West were like, oh, geez. And then we'll hit the reset button. Because, you know, just a little bit more enlightenment will make a difference. And the answer is, it doesn't make a difference. And so to me, this headline, so that's how President McNamara, that's how he does business. I want to understand the historical. So nothing has changed from you, Bush, to you, Clinton, to you. So we brought them in the WTO, and what did they do? They turned it upside down on us. They've used the WTO to make us dependent on their demand. That huge Chinese market that everybody wants access to sell into, so our manufacturers can create jobs in all these different countries. We can sell into that. It's going to be awesome, right? So in a communist weaponized economy, they've used the WTO to open up their markets, to create an addiction, and now they're looking at all the crack whores and going, okay, sorry, no more crack. And what does a crack, what does a person addicted to crack do? The word crack whore I don't like. So a person addicted to crack, what do? They do anything. Why? Because they need it. They can't stand the political unrest if we have to begin shutting factories down. Okay, well, you're going to have to open up a second factory here in China, and then we transfer technology and things like that. So this headline you read this morning, the return of John Bolton, a hawk on North Korea and Iran, sparks concern. What does John Bolton say that's so hawkish? He calls bullshit on their lies. He throws their shit in the street. And it is the folly of America and the West and these communist nations, they must laugh their asses off at us. Like, yeah, you know, you can tell them anything and bless their little hearts, so they want to believe it. They want to believe it. And I'm sure in China and also in Moscow, so in Beijing and Moscow, I'm sure they're watching the thing in North Korea and see he's taking a playbook from us. He's giving them hope, and we'll see what he turns it into. Okay? Right out of the playbook. All they need is a glimmer of hope, and they will unload their wallets. They will hold great ceremonies. They'll invite you. Just a glimmer of hope is all they need. You won't have to deliver on the promise. All you have to do is make the promise. So, yeah, so when I saw that this morning, I thought, you know, that's a hawk. What, calling a spade is a hawk? All right. I just thought I'd share that little thought with you. Yeah, so John Bolton's a hawk because he said Iran's bullshit. Because he said Russia's bullshit. Because he says China's bullshit. Because he says North Korea's bullshit. That's a hawk. How about somebody who's taken their rose-colored glasses off, who told you to take that reset button, right, and put it back in the closet that it came from, and begin to see the world for what it is, and the dangerous people that are out there, and stop trying to make friends with them. You can't be friends with dictatorships. Okay, there's a reason why the word dictator starts with the first three letters D-I-C. Okay? Because that's what they are. And you can't be nice with them, because ultimately what are they doing? They're only in power because they've brutally suppressed their population. All right, it's Friday. Whitney Houston's going to join us here momentarily. We'll check the news. And then I don't know what we're going to do in the 8 o'clock hours, which normally means it should be moderately interesting. So either all personality radio or we'll fire something out of the archive. So, good morning to you on Friday, the 23rd day of March in the year 2018. Yeah. What other courses of action are left with you? You know, a trade war with China. Are you kidding me? China's a joke relative to trade. As are most of our trading partners. Not only do we defend them, but we prop them up through these bullshit, you know, these bullshit trade agreements that certainly don't help the American worker. Let me tell you, the American worker is so abused, and now we need, right, autonomous cars because our cab drivers aren't even safe anymore. We want those jobs too. Yeah, your FedEx driver, get ready to kiss his ass goodbye, okay? Because he's leaving. And then, hey, look, if we're willing to do that, why do we need pilots in FedEx planes? Why do we need those guys? What is all that? All of that is a bid to cut the biggest cost of production, and that is the labor force. Well, then what do we have them do? Pick up cigarette butts around the city? What job can't we replace with a computer? And they're going, wait, but why do we need autonomous cars killing people? Pretty chilling, that image of that woman on her with her bike right in front of that car before it hit. Pretty chilling. I'm thinking, I don't know what went wrong, but I'm thinking that if there was a human there controlling the vehicle as opposed to just riding in it, that maybe the human would have done something. Now, I could be wrong. I'm generally not, but I could be wrong. And then when it goes wrong, what do they say? Oh, our machine screwed up and killed you? Screw that. You know? Screw that. All right. Whitney Houston sings one of the greatest renditions of the national anthem in history. Good Friday morning to you. This is, let's see, who is this dedicated to? Dedicated to John Bolton. Good luck. good luck. You'll need it. H.R. McMaster, you know, I think the administration has gone to great care to say that, look, he served honorably. But it's, that is not a business. You know, I think it's tough for some military people because you don't see life through the lens of politics. And I will, you know, if you paid any attention at all to Rex Tillerson's departure yesterday, he talked about Washington, D.C. being a mean-spirited city. I think that's an insult to every mean-spirited city out there. Washington, D.C. has a black soul as a city. And nothing matters in that city anymore. The only thing that matters is power. And what is that old saying? Power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. That city has lost its soul, if it ever had one. The people that go there, you know, go on TV and they say all the appropriate things, but at the end of the day, they cannot get together to put the interests of the American people, you know, in the forefront of what they do. So this is dedicated to John Bolton. Good luck to him and to H.R. McMaster, partially dedicated to you too. So 50-50 dedication today. Well done. McMaster is a distinguished military officer with a distinguished record. He retires after leaving the White House, so all the best to him. So here's to non-tinted glasses and John Bolton.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by the by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight.
We got to learn.
We stayed here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Sunny and 43 in Quantico. Start of Major League Baseball season next week. Nice. That's right, Red Sox and Yankees. They play today. On ESPN, I think. Fired up. Yeah, it's awesome. Comes on at 1 o'clock Eastern, right at 10 o'clock. You can roll from All Marine Radio. Get your fill of the Gunner. And then right into Major League Baseball. All right, sunny in 48 at Camp Lejeune. Cloudy in 67 in Granbury. So it got warm in Texas. Montana got warm. Clouds in 46. Woo! 29 Palms. Sun in 51. Camp Pendleton. Clouds in 56. Okinawa. One weather warning. Clear, dark at 60. Clear in Okinawa at night. That's a good thing. Mars continues to heat up. 78 degrees right now under clear skies, and it's dark. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy in 59. Feels like 58. That's the wind chill. It's 1 degree. Looking today for a high of 65 degrees under cloudy sky. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy, 63. And then Sunday, partially sunny and 62. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, March has sucked for weather out here. April, man, come on. Let me look at the 10-day forecast, okay? Because this thing is irritating me. I try to do it once a week. And when is it going to get warm, for God's sake? All right. So let's see. So next week, starting Tuesday, sunny and 71. Nice. Wednesday, sunny 73. Thursday, sunny 75. Friday, sunny 76. Saturday, partly cloud 72. All right. Spring will arrive next week. It's official. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do news headlines. I'm going to share a little audio with you that I heard. Let me tell you the things that catch my eye as somebody who pays attention to the news. The things that catch my eye are people that are smart, that take contrary positions that you would expect them to. Okay? So when you hear a liberal speaking conservative, you know, that gets my attention, especially somebody that you know, you know to be smart. If when you hear a conservative speaking liberal, it's like, okay, give me the footnotes, because that interests me. What's going on? So that happened. It was Alan Dershowitz. Happened a few days ago. So I'm going to play a few little audio. Alan Dershowitz, lawyer, liberal, civil libertarian, right? And he made some points about this investigation. And my problem with these investigations that get going, you know, is that they wind up circumnavigating the globe. You know, they should have a given period of time. You know, if you don't get your work done in that period of time, you should, you know, you have to come back and ask for permission. If the scope of the investigation includes this, okay? For instance, you know, I think Americans wanted to know about collusion between Trump and the Russians, yay, nay, and then the extent of the Russian involvement in the election. So we're going to have a 5-year investigation into that and get told what? There was none. And it's hard to determine the impact of what they did. So the whole special prosecutor thing, you know, they've got to be completely independent. I don't like them. I think there should be limits to both their terms and how they're directed to work in terms of the scope. So, there you go. President McNamara speaks. That's right. President McNamara speaks. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do news headlines. I'll play a little Alan Dershowitz audio for you. And again, it's pretty interesting because Dershowitz, you know, pretty well respected constitutional law scholar. And I think he's got interesting things to say about the whole investigation. And it certainly made me stop and think about it. So I'll share it with you. Things that catch my ear. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Friday edition right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Email. Mac, what happened to the chef? The chef is, he's sick, man. Yeah, down hard. He last week had the onset of a some kind of cold. And so now he's like past the midpoint, but still not up to it. So, yeah. So, yeah, thoughts and prayers go out to Kimmy. So, anyway. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio on a Friday coming up next, right here on the All War. You're home for it. The one and only All. Hey, the All Warrior Radio Network's getting famous, by the way, in case you don't know. Yeah. Spoke to somebody this week and said, you know, I wanted to be on All Marine Radio. Oh, let me tell you two things before we go to the break. He said, I wanted to be on All Marine Radio. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, one of the events I did, and you're going to meet him. His name's James Ferguson. He does a thing called Warrior Reunion, and his company puts on the reunion. His foundation puts on the reunion. And they're good at creating events that guys can come together in the right kind of scenario to help each other, to have a good time. And so his business, he's a former Marine officer, was in Sangin when I was in Helmand. He was up at the Kajaki Dam, and those were artillery guys, and they got it on a little bit up there. Yeah, no shit. Yeah, you heard Joe Patterson early this week. When Patterson was getting it on in Sangin, Ferguson was up at the Kajaki Dam. In fact, it might have been his truck that rolled through Patterson's operation that morning. Anywho, you'll meet him. But anyway, I was talking to him. He said, yeah, I heard about All Marine Radio a couple of different times. And I said, how? He said, well, we put on these events. And guys said, you know, nobody knows about this, man. You need to get on that Marine radio station, All Marine Radio. And he's like, what is it? I've never heard of it. So, All Marine Radio, blowing up. The two more things before we go to break. There's a woman who started listening to my program by the name of Beverly that lives up in North Dakota. And she's listened to me for a long time. She went through all of the All Marine Radio podcast and told me what was screwed up. Hey, you don't have Mike and Mike on this one. In April of 2017. What? Yeah, so if people are searching for the shows that you and Mike do, on these two, you didn't put Mike and Mike. Like, oh, okay. And then there's other errors that I make. And so she sent me an email, and she used to say, you need to screw this. So I have to publicly thank her, Beverly, for her devotion to All Marine Radio. And given the bad weather in North Dakota, she quality assures our archives and on a daily basis. So my thanks to her. And then I have to tell you that I'm excited about a piece we're going to do next week. The battlefield study next week is going to be on the Mayaguez operation. Okay. So for those of you who aren't old, who are young. After the Vietnam War ended, the SS Mayaguez was an American flagship. It was taken, it was commandeered and taken to an island called Koh Tang Island off the coast of Cambodia. So, and I'm not exactly even sure who the force was, by communists, some kind of communist force. But again, Koh Tang Island is in the Gulf of Thailand. So Vietnam, right, is around the corner. Is around the corner and up the coast. Okay, so so there was an operation ordered, and honestly, it was a straight-up shit show. It combined Air Force helicopters, CH-53s, with Echo, I believe Echo and Fox Company, 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines. And so I want to say 23 were killed, and sadly, three Marines were left on the island when they eventually left the island. And so I don't know how that popped into my head a couple weeks ago. So I started reading about it, and I tracked down a guy named Dan Hoffman, who was a second lieutenant in 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines for the operation. He's going to join us next week, and he's excited to do it. He said, hey, look, my problem isn't going to be being on for 90 minutes. Your problem is going to be shutting me up. And he said, because I told him what battlefield studies are and the lessons learned. He said, I would love to do that. I would absolutely positively love to do that. So I'm excited about it. When I was at the basic school, so in the Marine Corps, you go through officer candidate school, and then unlike any other service, the Marine Corps sends you for 5.5 months to a school that is called the basic school, TBS. And you learn how to be a basic officer. It's like an incubator. And from there you go and do what most other services do, which is send you to your job school. So most other services do that out of officer candidate school. The Marine Corps makes a huge investment in its service by not sending such inexperienced officers out into the operating forces. If you're a Marine officer, normally you have been in the military twice as long as your peers in other services, which is a good thing, especially at that point in your career. You know, you learn, you know, 6 months is a long time to be a professional at the start of your career, and you learn a lot. So anyway, when I was there, there was one of the lieutenants who was at the Mayaguez was on the staff and named J.J. McMenamin, and he wound up being a brigadier general in the Marine Corps. I reached out to him on LinkedIn, but I never heard back from him, so I figured he didn't want to do it. So then I started looking around, and they have an organization, Dan Hoffman and guys that were involved in the operation, called the Koh-Tang Beach Club. And they've hung together all these years and support each other. There's videotapes of them going back to the island. But, you know, what they live with is the fact that when they left that island, they believe they left three Marines that were alive, still on that island. And they all had a hard time with that since then. So you'll hear from former Marine Lieutenant Dan Hoffman, and we'll talk about Koh Tang Island. So I can't tell you how excited I was to talk to him and explain what we do and how excited I was to do this piece, this battlefield study. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, Koh Tang Island. Look it up on Google Earth. It is, if you look at the coast of Cambodia, and if you know where Thailand is, you come down the Thai coast, down the Cambodian coast about halfway, two-thirds of the way. And, there's an island. And the SS Mayaguez was moored off the coast of that island. So we'll talk about that next week. Anyway, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Friday on the All Warrior. That's right. Slowly getting famous after 2 years, Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On the other side of the street I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me.
$7.50. Email. Mac, did you say the Yankees and Red Sox play today? Yeah. It's on, baby. Watch. And I'll say something to Mike. He'll say, oh, call me in September. Oh, what do we have, like a one-month baseball season? Sorry, brah. Stand by for another ass-whooping. Yep. Gonna rename Fenway Park Yankee Stadium North. The Green Monster. Gonna rename that thing the Judge Stanton Monster. Exactly. Yeah. ESPN. I'll tell you a good deal. If you're a baseball fan and you don't do it, I'm gonna give you some advice. Right now, get the At Bat app on your phone. Okay. And you could even split it with somebody else. Because you can watch it on mobile devices. So what does that mean? Well, let me just say, hypothetically, let's just say you have a son that is a baseball fan. You both pay $50. 58 maybe, something like that. Okay, you both pay $60. And you watch as much baseball as you can watch. On your phone. Mac, it's on your phone. Oh, I can watch it on DirecTV. Okay. So let me square this up for you. DirecTV won't play it on your phone. Yeah. It won't play it on your phone. Yeah, why is that a problem? Because your phone, come on, get with the times, man. Okay, so now what do I do? All right. So you go to Best Buy and you go buy a thing called Chromecast. It's a little device that you plug into one of the HDMI openings in the back of your TV. It's got a power source, so you plug that in. And then you download another app called Google Home. So you boot up Google Home, all of a sudden it sees this this device. And it says what network do you want it to join? I want it to join the Mac network. Nah, that's my network. Alright? What's the password? I'm not gonna tell you my password, because that's how I am. So you put the password in, and now this thing's joined to your device. So now on your phone, you pull up the Major League Baseball app. Boom, and you say, yeah, let's watch the Yankees and the Red Sox get it on. In fact, just a little teaser. All right, Aaron Judge is going to bat leadoff today. That's right. He's hitting leadoff today for Los Yankees de Nueva York. Yeah, that was in Spanish for all you people that need SAP on your television. Anyway, so Aaron Judge, so then there's that little cast icon that pops up, and you hit cast, and it says, what device should I cast to? Because you may have multiple of these in your home someday. And you say, and you can give it a name. I gave mine a name like Living Room TV, All Marine Radio, Studio TV. Boom. All of a sudden on your TV, in high definition, baseball game. So, it's on your phone, it's on your TV when you want it there. Yeah. Exactamundo, my friends. Baseball. You can listen to the broadcast, right? You can watch it on TV on your phone. It's awesome. Yeah. At Bat is the app. So, check it out. Public service announcement here from your friends on All Marine Radio. Email. Are you bullshitting? Is Aaron Judge really batting leadoff? Here's why he's batting leadoff. On base percentage of 422, which ranked second in the American League last year. Okay, that means he gets on base almost half the time he goes to the plate. He walks, he hits home runs. That's what the dude does. Okay. But here's the dilemma. So why doesn't he hit third or fourth, Mac? Because you want, in the first inning, okay, you want both Judge and Stanton to come to the plate. Why is that? Because pitchers struggle in the first inning. Even good ones struggle to get their act together in the first inning. Okay, so if you're going to have both of them hit in the first inning, and you're going to separate them by a left-hand hitter, one of them has to lead off. Of the two of them, it would be Judge. Faster, higher on base percentage. That brings Judge and Stanton to the plate. How interesting is that? Driven by statistics. Because in the old days, you would never do this. Judge would hit third, Stanton would hit fourth or fifth. If you wanted to break them up, you throw a left-hand hitter between them, yada, yada, yada. But you would never do this. Baseball, the statistics of baseball, when you look at this, it's not as crazy as it sounds. So, that's your sports segment this morning, as well as your software and how to... Yeah, let me just tell you this. Max experiment with YouTube TV. I call it Google TV, but YouTube TV is the brand name. Oh, my God. On your phone, if you have an Android phone, if you say, okay, Google, your phone, like, lights up. Then you start giving it commands. So I said Google, and my phone popped up. Anyway. Google TV. I just got an email about it. Do you have to pay for any cable anymore at all, or just have Chrome and Google Home? I have no cable. I have YouTube TV, $35 a month. That's it. I have nothing else. The only thing I pay for is obviously internet services. But I don't think, so if you have it bundled, maybe that's a reason to do that, because TV as we've known it historically, going away. Yeah, can you imagine your cable bill of over what? What is your cable bill? To drop that down to $35? Yeah, because by the time I got all those stupid channels that I never watched, and then I love to watch sports. So I got the NHL, Major League Baseball, didn't watch the NFL, although we're going to talk about the NFL here in a little bit. Interesting developments in the NFL. I don't have any of it. I have Netflix on my phone. I was watching that last night. I have to tell you about Netflix, what I'm watching on Netflix. We're going to do all personality radio. We haven't even got to the news yet this morning. So, yeah, I don't have anything. $35 a month. That's right. Now, if you like having DirecTV all over your house, then so be it. So, what do you have to do? You have to go buy a little Chromecast for every TV that you want to cast it on. But so, for instance, I sit here with three monitors connected to my desktop computer. At 10:05 this morning Pacific time, I will pop it on, and the Red Sox and Yankees will be on. I will watch that on MLB TV on one of my screens. I'll continue to work and put the show up on the website and do what I do there, which takes me a little bit of time, and plan for next week, yada, yada, yada. So, and the game's on. I don't need cable TV to watch that. I watch it. If I decide to go out in the living room and watch that, I fire up the MLB At-Bat app on my phone, and then I just cast it to my Chromecast that's out in the living room. Yeah. $35 a month. So, board cable TV. I don't listen to it. Do I miss it? What the hell would I miss? I can still watch local NBC channels. Not NBC, but I still watch YouTube TV has all the local channels out here that I could watch. It has the regional sports channels. Fox Sports, it has all the ESPN channels, it has the Smithsonian Channel, National Geographic, things that I watch, things that I tend to watch. So, she just wrote back, yeah, mine is sucking at almost $200 a month for me. Hey, can you imagine? You're going to drop $165 off that bill. And then if you want to buy, for instance, she lives up in North Dakota, you can buy a package on your phone. You can buy a package to watch, like, the University of North Dakota hockey games that people love to watch up there. You can buy that through the league that they perform in, the NCHC. And you buy that, and then you cast it onto the TV. And so, you might pay $100 for the package for the year. You buy it all at once and you get it cheaper. Blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, TV's changing. and you can save yourself some money if you care to. Now, if you're tunned up and you're like, oh, Mac, I like my DirecTV and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no need to do that anymore. My only problem with all this is, right, the Google owns the world, and it needs to be broken up. But I still think that we can have the same things, and you don't need to have one person running the whole show. But film at 11, all right? Film at 11. All right, so, yeah. Another email. Explain the Chromecast thing. I pay $240 a month for my DirecTV subscription, and I swear to God, I may watch six channels on the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, Netflix is $10 a month. Let's see. YouTube TV, I pay $35. I think if you sign up now, it's $40. So you pay $40 a month for that. And then you got to go buy, again, it plugs into an HDMI outlet, and it's got like a rubber cord, and there's a disc that goes with it that's the receiver. And then you plug that into, there's a power source that goes with that, so you plug that in. That's it. And then you connect that to your network. And then when you pull up the apps on your phone, you, for instance, in my studio, I have the news on. And so on my phone, I just pull up, the YouTube TV, poof, fire that up. There's a button that says live programming because it'll record stuff for you. Oh, did I mention that? It records stuff. If you say that I want to watch the Kings Avalanche game from last night that you recorded, guess what comes up? The Kings Avalanche game that it recorded. Yeah, Andrzej Kopitar lit it up four times last night. That's right. My Kings. They're not as good as they used to be, but not a whole lot I can do about it, man. They're my team. But, yeah, Kopitar was awesome last night. So, yeah, it'll record stuff. You want to record the news every day? It records the news every day. Just like your DVR does. Yeah. What? Hannah Montana say what? Yeah, look it up on your, just look it up. It's called Chromecast. And you can buy a couple versions of it. I have both the cheap version, which is $35, and the not cheap version, which is $70. And I think the $70 one goes with your 4G TV or whatever the hell that thing is. I didn't even have that. But I thought someday I might get one, so I bought the one better one. So anyway, you just buy those things and you connect them to your TV. And, you know, then you can unplug your cable and say, boy, come get your shit, man. I'm done with you. Yeah, you and your $200 a month. So, yeah, that's all it is. And then it's on your internet. And you can cast anything to that. For instance, you can cast MLB cast to that device. Netflix casts to that device. Right? YouTube TV casts to that device. So it's not just the Google programming that it accepts. It casts everything. That's right. Saving your money. That's why, hey, Almer Radio, why else do you listen? Saving your money. We haven't got to the news yet. We'll get to the news, maybe. Let me talk to you about the NFL. Yesterday at Stanford University, there was a pro day for one of Stanford's players. His name is... His older brother's name is Eric Reed. Okay? Eric Reed was prominent in the NFL protest. He is a free agent. He has not received one bona fide contract offer. So he was at his brother's pro day, and a pro day is Stanford has a number of guys who are going to, you know, turn professional or at least want to turn professional as football players. So they have what's called a quote unquote pro day. And let's just say it's a quarterback. So he's going to throw, and they do this before the NFL draft and a bunch of scouts come and blah, 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 blah. So his brother, plays for Stanford. And so his brother's working out of this pro day. So media there. And so Eric Reed is there. So he said a week ago that I've received no contract offers, and I know it's because of my stance relative to what I believe in terms of social justice. Now, he's quoted in the interview as saying that he will not kneel during the national anthem anymore. Quote, "We understand you have to change with the times," he said after watching his brother Justin take part in Pro Day at Stanford. Quote, "I'm not saying I'm going to stop being active, because I won't. I'm just going to consider different ways to be active, different ways to bring awareness to the issues of this country and improve on the issues happening in this country. I don't think it will be in the form of protesting during the anthem. I say during because it's crazy that the narrative changed to we were protesting the anthem, and that wasn't the case. I think we're going to take a different approach to how we're going to be active." So, excuse me. Okay, Eric, let me go over this again. It wasn't that you were protesting the anthem. It was that you were being disrespectful during the anthem and the American flag. And for people like me, right, I can't have that. Because of what I've seen, my body recoils from it. Something that I've watched and enjoyed since I don't even know how old I was, since I was old enough to sit next to my dad and watch the 49ers play on TV in our home in Sacramento, California, probably as early as 1961, 1962, when I was 4 or 5, watching a football game with my dad. Right. So probably 56 years of watching it, I shut that shit off. That's how deeply you offend me. And the reason I shut it off and why I was more offended was because you have the largest marketing machine at your feet. You have one of the largest cash machines on the planet at your feet. And you ass clowns can't work with the NFL to find a way to articulately make a difference in this issue that I think everybody realizes is an issue in our country. Police violence. Right? Sacramento's going through it again today. Guy gets shot and killed because cops thought he had a weapon and he had his phone in his hand. Now, I don't know all the circumstances surrounding that. I'm sure they'll come out. But yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. And we got the whole thing. Our point to you was there's a better way. And I will tell you this. Guys like Richard Sherman figured it out. He's a Stanford guy just like you. He's a smart guy. They took a different tack to still being active, still getting that point across, but not being disrespectful. Now, there's an issue that, well, I don't have a contract offer, and I'm a Pro Bowl player in this league, and I'm young. I don't have an offer. Well, no shit, you don't have an offer. Based on the contentiousness of this issue, does that surprise you? And it doesn't matter if you can play or not. I don't want what comes with you. I'm not going to introduce that into my community. And so, if you want to be a social activist, if you want to swim upstream, and if you want to thumb your nose to everybody, then don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if people say, okay, I got it, that's your right. But it's my right not to bring that into my home. Not to bring that into my workplace. Not to divide my fan base with you. Okay? Because I don't see that as a good move for my franchise. Because this is so white hot where I live. And I don't want it, and that means, and I don't want it. So you're probably a wonderful human being. I got it. And you're a good football player. I got that too. But guess what? I don't need this controversy, and it sure as hell what I'm going to get. You know? Again, look at Ray Rice, but before him, who's the dude that punched that woman? Ray Rice? Is that his name? Yeah, Ray Rice.
Why would anybody hire that guy?
To have that videotape run over and over again and have your franchise painted like that? Do you need that? So, Eric, just know this. I mean, I don't want to say too late, and I don't think you should be given the death sentence for what you believe. But when you want to go down the social justice road and you want to do it at work, and then you thumb your nose to it, then at some point you are what you are. If that's who you are, then that's who you are, and just respect that. There is no. Do you think there was an owners' meeting in terms of as a labor organization, the NFL Players Association says we're going to have a problem if he doesn't get a job offer? Wait a minute. Do you think the NFL owners are stupid enough to send a text message or somehow communicate, hey, nobody give Eric Reed a contract offer? Hell no, they're not. So what does that mean? So all these franchises on their own have looked at him and said, you know what, who's out there that's comparable to him? Let's aim our sights on him, okay? Because I, as an owner, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want our – look, we're selling season tickets. We're having a great time. Do you know what's going to happen to all that? If we sign him, you're going to have the American Legion down here protesting. You're going to have the local chapters of the Marine Detachment, you know, of Veterans of Foreign Wars. You're going to have we're going to fire that shit show up. I don't think so. It's not good for business. So anyway, the NFL saga continues, and they're not going to take up the issue of player conduct during the national anthem. During their meetings, they're just going to keep their fingers crossed that an $89 million payment that the NFL teams are going to make into a trust fund that will go to a series of liberal social justice organizations that won't be without its own controversy. They hope that will be what it takes to get players to stop protesting during the national anthem, and so that the National Football League can be about football. And I'll tell you what, I don't know that it should be simply about kneeling down. I think the issue is your political views during our work day. Okay? So when we're working, right, you don't have the right to use our forum for your political views. We don't do that at work, just like nobody else does it at work. It's inappropriate. When you get off work, press conference and whatnot, you're free to vent your spleen. Go ahead. But when we're during the games, that is our product. You don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to make any social statement during our product. Now, the NFL owners won't even go there with their players. Won't even go there. So, again, I don't know if the NFL is in a better place. There's stories being written that this $89 million is extortion money. And then what you're going to have is they're going to pay the $89 million, and you're going to have some players saying, yeah, I don't agree with the way they spent it. I'm still kneeling down. And that'll still be the story. That'll still be the story. And again, I would draw the way that story will work with a little bit of the way the whole Marines United thing and harassment seems to follow the Marine Corps. It doesn't matter the scope anymore, because the latest version of it was 267 images on a closed site with an encrypted name on Facebook. Now, does that mean it's not any less wrong? No, absolutely not. But at some point, you know, scope and size is important of these transgressions. So we've gone from 30,000 users associated with a website, of which I want to say between 1,000 and 2,000 access the hard drive, to, I want to say, in the hundreds, maybe belong to a group. There's no estimate in terms of how many accessed a hard drive that had 267 images on it. Okay, so if that's not a step forward, I'm not sure what is. But when you look at the headlines, okay, so reality is much smaller event. When you looked at the headline, that's not what you read. The headline says, because it's designed to get you to read it, right? And the headline that goes around out around the country is, the Marine Corps not doing enough, Marines United too. You're like, oh man, what is that? Well, it's clickbait. That's what it is. And so what will it be for the NFL? What will it be for the NFL? If one guy continues this, it's going to be front page news across the country. And they can't get away from it. So, again, that's my prediction on the NFL. There will be somebody who doesn't decide they like it. And you will continue to see this stuff. So, again, to me, what's wrong with it is, and it's their right to do it, no doubt about it. Okay? I think it's an extremely poor taste, and as a veteran, I say, I won't watch. And they have better options, and they ought to get together as a league and as a players union and accommodate that whole thing. And what happened was the players aren't happy with the direction that the $89 million took. $89 million, man. Are you kidding me? $89 million. It's amazing. So, anyway. Netflix. Hold on, let me take a break. I want to talk about Netflix because I started watching some stuff about concentration camps. Wow. You know, I read a bunch about, you know, the Final Solution and stuff growing up, and Netflix has probably three or four different series. I mean, I think Hitler, I'd be curious to know the amount of money Hitler has generated, you know, since World War II. Books about him, movies about him, anything that contains reference to Hitler. How much money that he's generated. These documentaries, the first one I watched was about Auschwitz. This historical development of that death camp in Poland. And I thought, as somebody who enjoys history, I thought it was very interesting. Second one is about the Einsatzgruppen, the SS units that were specifically designed to follow the Wehrmacht, the German army, into the East and deal with political prisoners and Jews as the Wehrmacht continued to fight and the Soviet army and push to the East. And so you see the things they did and the scope which they did it, and also the different groups that assisted them in doing it. Pretty mind-blowing. Pretty mind-blowing. The anti-Semitic feeling that it had been in the air for decades, and the Germans unleashed that with willing participants in the Ukraine, in Lithuania, in Romania, and just amazing, just absolutely amazing. So there's a whole, and I think there's one other one that I want to watch. But yeah, you sit there and you watch it, and you just think, good God, man, good God. Anyway. But like I said, I think very, very well done. Very well done. And a lot of the footage I've never seen, and a lot of the experts that talk about the history, who were these people? I mean, it's not like the guys who led these units were stupid. Some of them were masters, PhD guys. What? Yeah. Absolutely. And the need for Auschwitz comes from the toll that it takes on these units in terms of the execution of people and SS commanders complaining, hey, you're destroying my unit because they can't do this every day. And that's what they're being asked to do. You know, and initially it was just, again, round up political leaders, people accused of treason, all this other stuff that the Germans supported the locals in putting things in order in their city. Okay, Soviet, you know, propaganda ministers and commissars and all that kind of stuff, along with leading Jews. Then it became males, Jews. Then women and children were put into it. And you could, again, just imagine, even if you believed in the rightness of it, putting your rifle sight, putting your a machine gun on women and children, at that point you begin to corrode what you are as a human being. Okay, if you weren't corroded already, which you clearly should have been. And so the demand for the services of a place like Auschwitz goes up as these commanders say, my unit is being destroyed from within. We'll take a quick break. We'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Orbison has a voice like not too many other people. Yeah. Email. Mac, has your life changed because of your change of television? No, not a bit. That's the craziest part of it. One of my sons asked me that. Yeah, but Dad, come on. Look, I used to get all those stations, right? But if I was bored and looking for something to watch, I mean, I'd peruse like Netflix, HBO, but I mean, that stuff, I mean, I never watched it. You know, the things I find most, I guess most compelling the things that I watch most, the Smithsonian Channel. And so I watch that kind of stuff. I tend to on local news, local stuff, I usually only watch the news and I don't watch that much, like, I don't watch that much other shows. Yeah, so has it impacted my life? Not in any significant way has it impacted my life. The things that I watch are, I tend to watch the news, I watch public interest stuff that interests me, I like history, and what else do I watch? And that's kind of it. And all that stuff is on the History Channel. In fact, let me get my YouTube. Let me pull up YouTube TV. And I'll recite for you the TV channels that are there. Let All right. So when you there's like a at the bottom of the page, once you fire up the app, it says library, home, and live. Okay, so if I touch library, will be the things I recorded naturally. Okay, so I touch live. I'll scroll up, so I can watch NBC, I can watch ABC, I can watch Fox, I can watch KCAL, which is an independent over-the-air channel. Then I watch TV, then they have, so those are all local channels, and the major local ones. All right, so TBS, TNT, ESPN, ESPN2, the SEC channel, which is the Southeast Conference channel, ESPNU, ESPN News, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, Fox Sports San Diego, Fox Sports West, Prime Ticket, which is another sports channel out here. All right. MSNBC Sports Channel, the NBA Channel, Major League Baseball Channel, the Big Ten Network, CBS Sports Network, the Golf Channel, the Olympic Channel, the Tennis Channel, the Disney Channel, the Disney Channel 2, XB or XD Channel, which is another Disney event, Universal TV, the Cartoon Network, AMC, BBC America, I don't even know what this, the History Channel, FX, FXX, FX Family, Independent Film Channel, something named Pop, Sundance TV, which is a movie channel, Turner Classic Movies, Truth Channel, USA, National Geographic, National Geographic Wild, Smithsonian, Sci-Fi, Bravo, E, Oxygen, We, BBC World News, CNN, Fox, Headline News, MSNBC, Newsy TV, CNBC, Fox Business News, T52, which is Telemundo 52, Universo, which is another Hispanic language, and then Comet TV. So that's pretty much, you know. So then if you pile on Netflix on top of that, you know, and I got that because I think Colleen watches it. So it was $9 a month or something like that. It's up to 10 now. So, I mean, and I'll find documentaries on Netflix that I enjoy. So how much does it impact my life? Not one bit so far. And on a monthly basis, I'm not dissimilar to other people. $150 back in my pocket. Yeah. Screw that other stuff. And now if you notice, if you go to break your contract with DirecTV, they have this charge that they make you pay, $250. Yeah. We're sorry, but we're going to have to pay our disconnect. You're going to have to pay our disconnect fee. What is that? Well, in your contract, since you're ending it early, there's a fee that we charge. But if you come back, we'll refund it to you. How much is it? $250 for DirecTV. Oh, really? You're going to charge me that? Well, first of all, just so you know, I'll never come back. Second of all, it'll take me a little bit more than a month to recoup that bullshit, too. Bye-bye. All right. So put that in the news. So has my life changed much? No. Another email. Mac, did you say Aaron Judge is leading off? They can't be serious about it. I think they are. So, yeah, you're probably not wanting to tip their hand off. But this is on ESPN right now. The right fielder will bat first Friday against the Boston Red Sox. That's in a batting position that's normally occupied for speedsters. Judge will set the pace for a lineup chock full of power hitters, including Giancarlo Stanton batting second. Now that's a surprise. Greg Bird third and Gary Sanchez fourth. This is the first time Judge has appeared at the top of the order in his professional career. I might have done it in high school game once, said the reigning American League home run champion who hit 52. While Judge's appearance at leadoff will generate a buzz around baseball world, he enters the spring game unfazed by the development. This morning I wake up, I'm hitting leadoff, Judge said. It's just another day. No big deal. So anyway, with an on-base percentage of .422, which is second highest in Major League Baseball, in the American League, I'm not sure about Major League Baseball. Pretty interesting. And really, it's only material in the first inning. The Astros do this with a guy named George Springer, right? Power-hitting center fielder. He can run a little bit, but he's not the fastest guy in the world. But he led off for the Houston Astros, and they did all right last year. The biggest thing is his on-base percentage, and then getting Giancarlo Stanton to hit in the first inning. So, anyway, the Mac, I'm curious about your audio about with Alan Dershowitz. Okay, this is Alan Dershowitz. I told you a little bit ago that this caught my eye, and it did. So, so Alan Dershowitz, when you find people that are saying things and doing things that seem to be out of the mold that you've cast them in. Okay, so this is Alan Dershowitz. He was appearing on Fox. Okay, and they're talking about the special counsel and how it ought to work. And again, one of the things I hope that All Marine Radio is about, it's about the truth. Okay? And the truth is hard to ferret out. And just like with John Bolton, the Washington Post, this is a move right. What, somebody who calls out people that are dictators and have no intention of living by agreements that they sign, it simply is a way to put the United States under an agreement in a box, and they'll continue to do what they want to do surreptitiously? That's good for the country? Let me tell you, it's not good for the country. It's not good for the country. Okay, so here's Alan Dershowitz. Stand by. Target.
Emeritus Alan Dershowitz. Alan, thank you for joining us this morning. So, first off, there you have another example. Mark Meadows, someone who says he spoke with the president, and the president says he has no intention of firing Robert Mueller, but still, speculation is running wild.
Well, it's the Democrats and the people on the other side who are fueling this speculation. I can't see any conceivable reason why the president would even consider firing Mueller. That would create a real problem on the Republican side of the aisle, as well as obviously on the Democratic side of the aisle. I don't think he's going to fire him. I don't think he should fire him.
Well, the president, with his tweets over the weekend and Monday morning, saying this is the ultimate witch hunt, it certainly adds fuel to the fire, saying this investigation never should have began in the first place. So what is the strategy there? Why put those things out there?
Well, first of all, the president's 100% right. There never should have been the appointment of a special counsel here. There was no probable cause of that.
Now, you hear him say that. He's a liberal. So if he stays true to the way we do politics today, right, Dershowitz wouldn't be saying this. So what is he saying? Now, so you can hear the car tires screeching as Mac's driving and listening to this. What did Dershowitz just say? Oh, you mean he might be telling the truth? It's akin to somebody say, you know, a conservative saying, you know, Bill Clinton, in spite of being morally corrupt, was a pretty good politician. Right. If you can't utter simple truths, it's like a conservative also saying George Bush, moron. Okay, straight up moron.
Point to believe that crimes had been committed. I've seen no evidence to suggest that crimes have been committed by the president. As I said from day one, there should have been a special investigative commission, nonpartisan, appointed by Congress with subpoena power, to look into the role of Russia in trying to influence American elections and to try to do something about preventing it in the future. Instead of starting out with finger pointing and trying to criminalize political differences behind the closed doors of a grand jury, that's gotten us nowhere. The president's absolutely right. This investigation never should have begun. And the question is now, how does he deal with it? And I think what he's doing is he's...
Okay, before we get to that, so Dershowitz, right, says bipartisan, right, panel. Now, who is that? Who's that in Washington, D.C. these days? I don't know. Can such a thing even exist? Goes and looks at this event, right? And that is Russian meddling in the election. And if they find sufficient behavior to warrant a special counsel, then we do that. That seems to be a far better way than what we've done.
Playing good cop, bad cop. He has some of his lawyers cooperating with Mueller and some of his lawyers attacking Mueller because he wants to be ready to attack in the event there are any recommendations that are negative to the president.
And, of course, Ty Cobb, the White House lawyer, is one of those who is speaking up saying that the president has no intention of firing Robert Mueller. Meanwhile, as we learn that the president is adding new lawyers to his legal team, and then there's further reports and speculation that there's going to be more of a shakeup for the president's legal team. Why do this now?
You know, you never know what's going on inside of a legal team. I remember in the O.J. Simpson case, people talked about it as the dream team. It turned out it was really a nightmare team. Nobody got along with each other. Everybody was fighting with each other, but everybody kept it confidential and private. So nobody knows what really is going on, whether there are real arguments within the defense team about whether to go public, whether to try to play a good cop. These are issues that are impossible for outsiders to know because conversations between lawyers and clients and among lawyers are privileged, and we don't have the right to know what they say to each other.
How would you describe, Alan, the current position that this president is in amid this investigation?
Well, as far as we know, he's not vulnerable to being prosecuted for obstruction of justice on constitutional grounds, and I think that seems fairly clear. There doesn't seem to be any evidence of any illegal collaboration between Russia and the Trump campaign. But what we don't know is whether there's an investigation dealing with the business affairs prior to becoming a candidate, prior to becoming president. Nobody knows. And he is being subjected to what I call a legal colonoscopy. They are looking at every conceivable aspect of his business life. And who knows how many people could survive that kind of an inquiry. So I think on the public things, the Russia thing and the obstruction of justice, he's on pretty safe ground. On the material regarding his own business dealings, it's impossible to know.
Should the president agree to some sort of sit-down or direct questioning from the special counsel?
Depends on what the alternatives are. If the alternative is to be summoned in front of a grand jury without his lawyer present to answer questions on every subject, that's obviously the worst possible approach. If he can compromise by having several hours with restricted questions on restricted subjects, with his lawyer present, with an opportunity to confer with his lawyer, that might be the least worst solution. Obviously, he'd prefer not to speak at all, but that may not be an alternative that's available to him.
Lastly, I want to ask you about these Andrew McCabe memos following his firing. Robert Mueller now has possession of those memos. What do you expect to come from those?
Well, I think they'll basically confirm what he's already said. These are self-serving memos, obviously written by him to memorialize what he remembers. It'll be subject to cross-examination, but I don't expect any smoking guns to come out of these memos.
Alan Dershowitz. So I always find it interesting when somebody takes – it seems like they're out of character in terms of their analysis with where they stand politically. Because I think when you see that, you see somebody with a bit of integrity and somebody who's probably got a good point. I wanted to share that with you. It seems to me that that's a far better way that, look, once you exhaust the was there collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, to me, that's the end of it. Now, yeah, this thing going to continue to go on for years and get into its business dealings? That's not who, nobody gives a shit about that. Okay, I'm sure his business dealings were just as honest as everybody else's. The sad news just breaking here within the last hour. The teenage girl that was shot in Maryland earlier this week was taken off life support system. Her mom made that statement last night, and she passed away. She passed away a few minutes ago. She was taken off life support last night at 11:34 p.m. Eastern Time at the University of Maryland Prince George's Hospital Center, and passed away here with in the last couple hours. So thoughts and prayers go out to the Barnes family. And again, that was a good outcome, that the community resource officer responded right away, and still no word on whether it was a whether he shot the intruder or whether the shooter shot himself. The Barnes family is the other student that was shot. He was treated and released. But the young girl's name is Jaylen Wiley, W-I-L-L-E-Y. And she was taken off life support system last night, passed away within the last couple hours. Her mother had previously told reporters that there was no life left in her. And, make sure you get involved. What is your school district doing to prevent the next one? And how do we make sure it doesn't happen? How does that kid get a gun on campus? How does that happen? Does that mean we have to get metal detectors? Well, shit, I go through them when I go to see a Kings game. So, school districts, get your shit together, man. Get your shit together. Let me just tell you something that something in the president's behavior that I don't particularly care for. He tends to go soft on all leaders except for Rocket Man. Okay. The fact that he congratulated Vladimir Putin bothers me. The fact that he doesn't call Putin out by name and bothers me. And if I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd say Putin must have something on him. But the truth is, he doesn't do that. You know, he didn't make a comment about President Xi of China becoming a dictator. The Chinese people have no recourse. There are no term limits now. So he's essentially president for life. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So I don't like that the president doesn't call out Vladimir Putin. And I guess, you know, one of the things that I would say is when you're waging a war by other means against a nation, at what point do you cross a line? Where is it that you cross a line? So if we can trace all these different things to Russian intelligence, right? And look what the Brits and EU are now. What will they do? Will they just dance because of, and again, here's the balancing act, right? Natural gas pipeline. They need Russia's natural gas. So what do? Do you put 6-month sanctions on them, knowing it'll come off by the time winter gets here and you can buy their natural gas again? Do you play charades? Or do you call out Putin? Do the Germans rearm themselves so you can say, look, we will never have a conflict again because you will certainly lose, right? You and your economy, less than the size of Canada, cannot support on a sustained basis this military expenditure without exposing yourself at home as you tilt that budget in a reckless way. And the Russian people probably won't have that now that they can communicate. Or will they roll over? So it'll be interesting to see what the UK and the EU do, because the European Union came out in support of Great Britain saying that, yet, no, we have concluded as well that this was a Russian event. You know, and Putin goes on TV and says, this is all craziness. We have nothing to do with it. Just like they have nothing to do with the American election. So I'm uncomfortable with the fact that the president doesn't call out world leaders by name. One of the stories, and we'll go through the news real quick, but one of the stories in the news today is American warships, like, transited the South China Sea. That's a big deal, for God's sakes. So what's next? China extends its 9-dash line to the coast of California. And then when we sail a ship to Hawaii, we say, hey, we sailed into Chinese controlled waters. Bullshit, man. The Chinese are bullshit. But again, the extortion that goes with it. Philippines say anything? No. Guess who's standing up to the Chinese of all people? The Vietnamese. Yeah. Guess what we should say? Hey, look, you know, the price of Chinese furniture is going up. But you know what? Why don't we do more furniture business with Vietnam? They produce it. How about that? Non-communist country, struggling to get up and going. Why not do business with Vietnam? Screw China. Oh, Mac, it's going to cost everybody more. It needs to cost more, okay? It can't be simply a race to the bottom relative to your bottom line, okay? And everything that you'll have to pay in addition, guess what? You can offset it by getting YouTube TV and cutting your cable bill, okay? Cutting your cable bill, $150 a month. So, Mac, what's $150 times 12, how much will I save on an annual basis? $1,800. Trust me, the amount you'll pay if we tell China to stick it up their ass, and we need to, isn't even close to $1,800. So you can offset it right there. How about that? Who's your buddy? Exactly. All Marine Radio is your buddy. Some news headlines. Marine Corps Times, Trump replacing McMaster with John Bolton. You know what? I think it's hard for military guys to live in the cesspool that is Washington, D.C. H.R. McMaster has had a great career as a United States Army soldier and officer. So wish him fair winds the following seas. And I like John Bolton because he speaks the truth. All the fairy dusters. Yeah, whatever. Hive-like drone pack could resupply far-flung Marines with the push of a button. Now, somebody at Marine Corps Times listens to All Marine Radio because they changed the story. The system could deliver, because I said, what the hell are they going to deliver to me? The system could deliver tiny amounts of gear and waves, from batteries to first aid to ammunition or food. Oh, okay. Navy wife alleges malpractice after doctors find a broken needle from 2003 in her spine. Doctors at an Army hospital in 2017 found a broken off needle in Amy Bright's spine. Bright says it's been there since she went to Naval Hospital in Jacksonville, Florida to give birth to her son, who's now 14. You can't make it up. You can't make it up. She wasn't told about the needle when it happened. After 14 years of misdiagnoses for her pain, Amy Bright found out in November 2017 as a result of a CT scan at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio that she had a 3-centimeter needle sticking out of her spine, 3/4 of the way through the bone, causing permanent nerve damage. She has chronic left side sciatica, hip and lower back pain for nearly a decade and a half. And because the needle has been there for so long, doctors have told her it's too risky to remove it. What the shit, man? Find out who did that and send him to jail. You don't have the right to use us as pushpins to screw it up and then not say anything. Matt, a Saudi leader, discussed Taliban safe havens to support peace talks. So kind of an interesting discussion here. Big arms sale announced to the Saudis at relatively cheap prices. The United States and Saudi Arabia are discussing how they could support safe havens for moderate Taliban leaders who seek to negotiate a reconciliation with Afghan government, with the Afghan government. Kind of confusing, right? So the United States and Saudi Arabia are discussing a safe haven for moderate Taliban leaders. Yeah. In Afghanistan. So confusing, right? I know. The topic came up during discussions Thursday at the Pentagon between Defense Secretary Mattis and visiting Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Saudi Arabia recognized the Taliban as a government in Afghanistan prior to September 11, 2001. Quote, ensuring that there is a safe haven for those who want to negotiate a political solution would help attract moderate Taliban peace talks, White said. Those members' families are often held hostage in order to force them to keep fighting. So interesting little, I would imagine that discussion has come up, that came from Afghanistan in Secretary Mattis's most recent visit there. Hey, what is the holdup? What is the holdup to doing something? Again, the other headline is Congress passes $1.3 billion measure, finally resolving the FY18 budget. The president, in I think a pretty shrewd move, he will ultimately sign it, but he's saying he may veto it because there's nothing in it for the Dreamers. And what he's doing is he's making sure that the Dreamers know that I'm willing to make a deal for you. I'm willing to give you some legal status here in the United States and a certain pathway forward for you. I'm here, and I'm ready to do that. But your Democrats are not, okay? And I may veto this in order to get the two things I want, which is some status for DACA recipients and a fully funded border wall. Yeah, $1.3 trillion, and we're playing games with $20 billion. Stupid, but here's the deal. The Democrats believe they're rolling and that they'll win the House. All right. Odds don't look as good that they'll win the Senate. However, they are drunk with the idea. Will they hand President Trump a partial victory with DACA before the fall election or November election? Chances are, answer to that is no. So. Doesn't matter what's right, only matters if you win. Top five stories on early bird. I won't go through all five of them because there's a couple down below that I want to talk about. Fight between special operations troops leaves one soldier dead at Fort Bragg. This is out of Army Times. What? A soldier was killed Wednesday following a fight with another soldier at a private residence in Fayetteville. Just after 5:30 p.m., Cumberland County officials got a call about a shooting in the Brookshire neighborhood of Fayetteville, North Carolina. They pronounced Sergeant First Class, Staff Sergeant in Marine Corps terms, Mark Leshikar, 33, dead at the scene. Homicide detective spoke to residents according to the release, but no arrests have been made. The soldiers there were members of the U.S. Special Operations Command. Stupid. There's a pay raise in the omnibus bill. Supposedly, Secretary of Defense was concerned when he heard the president might veto it. So there was news reported that Secretary Mattis is going to make a phone call to the president saying, please don't veto this. Yeah, here's another story. I wanted to get to real quick. Gunnar's going to join us in a few minutes. U.S. warship, this is Reuters, exclusive U.S. warship sails near disputed South China Sea island, officials say. Okay, this is like, when they report this, it's hilarious in my opinion. A U.S. Navy destroyer carried out a freedom of navigation operation on Friday, coming within 12 nautical miles. 12, that's like on the, you can't even, you can barely see it, of an artificial island built by China in the South China Sea. The operation, which infuriated Beijing, was the latest attempt to counter what Washington sees as China's effort to limit freedom of navigation in the strategic waters. It's the stupidest shit you've ever seen in your life. Get out a map and look on the map where this stuff is. And then China's pissed that we're within 12 nautical miles of it. That's why we need a confrontation with China and we need a confrontation with Russia. Okay. This story is a pretty big deal, and it didn't get any attention nationally. Trump to decide Friday, which is today, on new policy for transgender troops likely limiting their service. Now, we've talked about this. I could play the piece that I did. Secretary Mattis, before he forwarded his recommendations, one of the things he did was he said, look, everybody's got to be worldwide deployable. And if you're not worldwide deployable for more than 12 months, we're going to process you out of the military. Yeah. All right. So now, then he makes his transgender recommendations to the president, which would be what? You know, if you can pass all the physical requirements, and do we have a mental requirement? And mental requirements, then you can serve. However, If you're contemplating sexual reassignment surgery, that will take longer than a year. That you'll have to be in a limited duty capacity, so you can't serve. But if you're simply a transvestite, so you have gender dysphoria, and so you go out socially as a woman, but you're physically a man, and you have no desire to reassign. And you're coping with it, and you seem to be okay, why would you be able to serve? Certainly make Libo a lot more interesting. Okay? So, anyway, we're supposed to hear about that today, which will be interesting. Yeah, it would make Libo a little bit more interesting. The Army held its first live fire drills on Okinawa in more than 10 years. Took their cooks, their bakers, and their candlestick makers, and sent them up to Camp Schwab at the northern end of NTA, and took them out and do a little shooting in Okinawa. Why would they wait for 10 years? Two more stories, and then we'll get the gunner on. More Marines are headed down under to Australia. Yeah, it's called the Darwin Rotational Force. And so a reinforced battalion, nearly 1,600 Marines. How about that? 8 Osprey and artillery. Now, what message is that sending to the Pacific Rim? Yeah, we now put more troops in Australia. So, Vietnam, we just had an aircraft carrier go into Vietnam. So, again, so I say the president doesn't call out Xi, but he does more to get in his face than Barack Obama ever even envisioned. So again, I don't like the president's style, and he has the same style for Xi as he does with Putin. The deputy commander of Navy's Carrier Air Wing 1 was relieved of his duties earlier this month after he acted in an unprofessional manner while on leave. Rear Admiral Gene Black, commander of Carrier Strike Group 8, relieved Captain Brent Blackmer, based on his conduct during a Liberty incident that occurred February 1st in Norfolk. Without specifying the conduct, the public affairs officer said the recent investigation found that Blackmer's actions reflected poor judgment, failed to meet and uphold, blah, blah, blah. No mention of the incident. Former Marine sentenced to 10 years for child porn. A former Camp Lejeune staff sergeant has been sentenced to 10 years in federal prison for possessing child porn. Matthew Hartley Benton of Jacksonville was charged with receipt of child pornography after a search warrant was executed at his residence by Homeland Security agents on March 31st, 2017.